hell you been? So, so good. Well, I know you've been, oh, you've been, well, you've been so good. Well, I know you've been so, so good. Well, I just you, Lord, you spare. Had my life, Lord, I know you spared. Well, you spared. Oh, you spared my life, Lord, I know you spared my life. Oh, I just you. Thank you, Lord. Well, you saved my soul. Lord, I know you say, well, you saved. Oh, you saved my soul. Lord, I know you saved my soul. Well, I just you, oh, thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, I want to thank you, Lord. Yes, I want to thank you, oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. The world needs to see Jesus. Let the world in you, the Savior, see. Lift him up, and you will know he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lift him up, you will know he is the Good Shepherd. Lift him up, you'll know he's the Bread of Life. Lift him up, you'll know he is the Resurrection and the Life. Lift him up. You'll know he's the way, the truth, and the life. Lift him up. You'll know he's Mary's baby. Lift him up. You'll know he's the champion of Mount Calvary. Lift him up. You'll know he's a hiding place from the wind. Lift him up. You'll know he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Lift him up. You'll know he's a rock. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I hear him saying, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to thank Brother Ronald Taylor. Yeah, that young man is on his way, ain't he? Yeah, we appreciate him. Amen. We want to thank Brother Lance Kyle for that beautiful prayer. What a prayer this morning. Amen. Brother Everett Sperling. Brother Marvelous Sterling. His name is Sperling, but he do Sterling work. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read the first four verses. We're happy to have our guest today. I want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest today. And we are honored by your presence today. Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to begin at verse number 1. Good to see Brother Fred Tanksley back with us today. He and Zara. Fred has been under the weather, but the Lord has blessed him. Amen. To be here today. If you have that text, say amen. Amen. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But that the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Using that text, I want to begin a three-part series of messages entitled Six Profound Warnings from the Book of Hebrews. Six profound warnings from the Book of Hebrews. The Book of Hebrews is a significant document and part of the New Testament. It is an important book for New Testament Christians, because this great book shows us the supremacy and the incomparable greatness of Jesus Christ and his priceless and precious salvation. The book of Hebrews emphasizes the importance of obedience, even Jesus. And to bring that point home, the book of Hebrews tells us that even Jesus was perfected through obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, being then made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So this book emphasizes the importance of obedience. Jesus became perfect through obedience, and Jesus is the Savior of them that obey him. So obedience can put us in the eternal winner's circle. But disobedience can put us in the eternal loser circle. So the book of Hebrews talks about the importance of obedience. Now, this book talks about many warnings, but there are six profound warnings from the book of Hebrews. And when I talk about something being profound, we're talking about it being great. We're talking about something that shows great understanding. We're talking about something that requires serious thought to understand it, because there are far-reaching ideals and essential wisdom in the book of Hebrews. And so it gives us some profound warning. Now, warning is a sign that something bad is coming. Amen. A warning is advice that lets us know that we ought to stop doing something amen, ought to be careful about what we're doing. Amen. Now, warnings are a part of life because there's danger in life. Amen. There are serious consequences in life. Amen. So warnings are necessary. Amen. Warnings are placed on electrical appliances. Is that correct? Amen. Warnings are placed on cigarette packages. Amen. I heard somebody say, I didn't say this. It said when you got a cigarette, you got fire on one hand and the fool on the other end. I didn't say that. I just heard somebody say it. But there are warnings on cigarette packages. Amen. There are warnings on prescription medicine. So warnings, you just can't take medicine. You got to look at the warnings. Is that right? There are warnings in automobiles. Amen. Yes, sir. I remember when I first got my car, my kids wanted to ride in that front seat. But that was a warning that if they weren't a certain weight, that it could be deadly if they were riding in that front seat and something bad happened. In football, in the last quarter, there's a thing called a two-minute warning. And in the two-minute warning, it lets the team in front know that you are 2 minutes from winning the game. And the team behind, you are 2 minutes from losing the game. Is that all right? So warnings are a very important part of life. And if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. And when you give people warnings, you're helping somebody. When you give people's warning about dangers, because they are spiritual, even though we live in a material world, there is spiritual danger in this world. Every time I get on the people, I know it's dangerous out there. And that's why I need God. I wouldn't dare take a trip and then ask the Lord to go with me. I ask for traveling grace because I know there's danger all around me. Is that all right? So we're going to talk about six profound warnings from the book of Hebrews. I want to talk about two this morning. And the two I want to talk about this morning is number one, the danger of neglecting the great salvation. Now, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. But there's a danger of neglecting this great salvation, and it's a great salvation. Amen. The second warning I want to talk about is the danger of copying the example of the Israelites in the wilderness. The danger of copying the example of the Israelites in the wilderness. Now, every human being lives on both a vertical dimension as well as a horizontal dimension. Now, my vertical dimension has to do with my relationship with God. It has to do with my connection with God. And my vertical dimension is the most important dimension, and it is the most important relationship in life. You see, God is trying to tell us that the most important, and I know we love brother, sister, mama, church, but the most important relationship in your life is the relationship with God. That's our most important relationship. So I live on the vertical dimension, but also I live on a horizontal dimension, and that is my relationship with other people. And in order to live a quality life, I need to be protective of both my vertical dimension as well as my horizontal dimension. And these warnings that we're going to talk about deal with both the vertical dimension as well as the horizontal dimension. For it says in the text, in the warning, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, what is therefore, therefore? Amen. If you notice in chapter 2, verse 1, the chapter begins with a conclusion. That conclusion is based upon the argumentation and the presentation that has preceded the conclusion. And in chapter 1, he's talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The most important person in this world is not Barack Obama. It is not John Boehner. It is not William Baer. Now, these are political luminaries. We don't deny that. But the most important person in this world is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Now, in view of the fact that Jesus Christ should be the most important person in your life, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the teaching and the words of Jesus, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen? Well, why should we do this? Because Jesus is the greatest person in the universe. Why should we do this? Because never spake a man like this man. Why should we do this? Because Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Is that all right? So I should pay special attention to whatever Jesus says. Is that right? Because if I ignore his teaching, I am comparable to a foolish person that's built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and destroyed it. If you've been in your life on foolishness, foolishness is just not being sensible. It's lacking good judgment. And we lack in good judgment if we don't pay sincere attention to the things Jesus has to say. Amen? Because never has there been a man like Jesus Christ. Now we got two options. When it comes down to the words of Jesus, we're gonna do one or two things, and it covers everybody. We are either gonna give the more sincere attention to what he said, or we're going to drift away from it. We're gonna let it slip. Amen. We only have two options. Either we pay sincere attention or we let it slip. Is that all right? Now, when you look at what he says about giving the most earnest heed, the idea is of a ship on the water that imperceptibly passes its haven or port because the pilot was not paying attention. So he missed his docking point because the pilot was not paying attention. Is that right? So therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Either we taking the Bible seriously or we not. Either I'm serious about going to heaven or I'm not. Went to a funeral yesterday, a young man, 38 years old. died suddenly without a warning. Family heartbroken. Matter of fact, the young man, I came here a few times. So it can happen, amen? Is that right? He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can we escape when so many have failed not to escape? The record is God judges nations, cities, races, and individuals. God is going to judge sin. The angels that sin, God judged them and cast them down to chains of darkness. The first couple who sinned in the Garden of Eden, God judged them. The people in Noah's day that sinned and ignored God, God judged them by a great flood. Psalms 139 talks about the inevitability of God's judgment. Say, whether shall I flee from thy presence? Whether shall I go from thy spirit? If I ascend up to heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of a morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me and thy right hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the night will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. The darkness shineth as the light. There is no hiding from God. And God loves all people. God loves you. Amen. But let's understand this. God is not going to overlook your sin. He's not going to overlook my sin. God is not going to say, yo, it's all right. Amen. Amen. But he is going to judge sin. So how can I escape if I neglect so great salvation? And the answer is, I'm not going to escape. I can't escape. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you don't hear preachers preaching that now. They just want to preach something to make folks feel. You got to warn people too. Amen. You just can't preach stuff. You got to preach the whole counsel of God. Is that all right? His wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. How shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect is all it takes. Just neglect it. Neglect your health, and you wish you had it. Neglect your relationships. You wish you had it. Is that all right? Neglect your money. You wish you had it. Neglect your job. You wish you had it. Is that all right? All it takes to ruin us is neglect. Neglect means when I fail to take care of something like I should. Neglect is to not properly care for something, either through carelessness, amen, forgetfulness, or indifference. There's a thing in the legal arena called criminal negligence. And there's something even greater. It's called spiritual negligence. Now, really, there are four options when it comes down to salvation. Four options. Make a note of these. Four options. Number one, I can either accept salvation Number two, I can reject salvation. Number three, I can work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Or number four, I can neglect and drip away from my salvation. And everybody is either accepting it, rejecting it, working it out, or, amen, neglecting it and drifting away from it. The great Solomon said, of all thy getting, get understanding. And perhaps to help us to understand, do we really understand how great salvation is? We know how great money is, right? Don't we? We know how great it is to have a job at Mercedes, right? Amen. We applaud our dear sister as God has blessed her and exalted her to a position of authority on her job. That came from the Lord. Whenever you get a raise, it comes from the Lord. Is that all right? But how many this morning really can grasp how great salvation is? I'm afraid some people think it is more of an honor to be a part of a sorority than it is to be a member of the Church of Christ. Perhaps some people think it is more honorable to be a member of a fraternity than to be a member of the Church of Christ. But Solomon said, of all thy getting, get understanding. How can we grasp, how can we understand how great this salvation is? What a privilege we have. Oh, what an opportunity we have in Jesus Christ. Well, why should I? And the Bible doesn't say, look at it again. It doesn't say if we neglect salvation. Notice the language. Yeah. If we neglect what? So great. Like sometimes you say, man, it was so good. Yeah. And when you say it was so good, that takes it to a double level.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing to be good. But it's another thing to be so good. Salvation is not just merely great. It is so great. Do you realize what God has done for you? What a privilege we have. Perhaps the best way to understand it is to go a little deeper. Why is salvation so great? It is so great because of the great problem that it solves. Sin, it delivers us from eternal damnation and ruin. It's so great. It is so great because of the great price that was paid to secure it. The blood of Jesus, the Son of God on a cross. It is so great because of the dignity and the worth of the person who paid for it. Who paid for my salvation? Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Do we realize that God came down from heaven himself? It says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And God backed them up with miracles, signs, and various gifts of the Holy Spirit. This salvation is so great because it defeats the devil and all the forces of hell. It is so great because it is offered to every single human being upon this earth. Doesn't leave anybody out. Lord, have mercy. God says, preach it to all the world.
Right.
It is so great because in Christ you have a spiritual fortune.
Yes.
You have the unsearchable riches. Why in the world would you neglect that?
Right.
Is that all right?
Yes.
It is so great because of the great number that's going to be saved. Now, the Bible says that there are going to be a lot of folks that's going to be lost.
Yeah.
Many there be which go in thereat, but the Bible also says that in heaven there's going to be so many people saved, there's going to be a number that no man can number when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Is that all right? You make sure that that number that John saw, that your name is in that number. It's so great. How can I escape if I neglect so great salvation? When God delivered the nation from Egyptian bondage, that was a type of salvation. When God healed the woman with an issue of blood, it was a type of salvation. Amen. When blind Bartimaeus sat by Jericho roadside, heard the Son of God coming by and cried out to him, and the Son of God gave unto him his sight. That was a type of salvation. But the greatest salvation of all was achieved by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. We got, unfortunately, so many young people who are cyber savvy but don't know nothing about salvation. Is that all right? They can tell you who Jay-Z is, DMX is. Praise God. But don't know nothing about Jesus. Amen. And this is a great salvation. And Sister Blanson, I know the Lord will make a way. Somehow. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do what's right, the Lord will make a way for me. And the Lord has already made a way for me. The Lord will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. So the first profound warning is, don't neglect. You got an opportunity. We got. We got an opportunity of eternity. The Lord knows. Here's the second and final point. And that is, don't copy the example of the Israelites. Now, in the wilderness, the Israelites constitute sacred history. There's a phenomenon called copycat. You ever heard of a copycat? Y'all know what a copycat is? A copycat is someone who imitates others. Is that right? And sometimes a copycat can slavishly imitate others. And the truth is that people influence other people. That's just real. That's just keeping it real. People influence other people. Sometimes people influence people adversely or negatively to their detriment, and sometimes people influence people positively to their betterment. Is that correct? But the Bible says, don't be a copycat. You see, you can't copy everybody. There are positive examples, there are negative examples. We should imitate positive examples, and we should avoid negative examples. Now, somebody influences all of us. Is that right? So, let's do this. It says in Hebrews chapter 3. It talks about, wherefore the Holy Spirit said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation and temptation in the wilderness. So when you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. There's a lot of voices in the airways. Amen. A lot of voices out there. There are human voices. There are demonic voices, and people are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Is that right? But do you know when you hear the voice of God? Well, the voice of God, watch this. The voice of God can come to us in a well thought out sermon. The voice of God can come to us in a well developed Bible study. The voice of God can come to us in the wise counsel of a godly man or woman. Sometimes when you sit down and talk to people who are wise and godly, that's the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, because voices all around us, when you hear the voice of God, you should what? Harden not your heart. Amen. But let's go a little further. When the Israelites heard the voice of God in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. Provocation and temptation are translated from two proper nouns in the Old Testament. So there was a connection in the wilderness when they heard the voice of God. They were, now keep this in mind. They're on their way to the promised land. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. Are we on our way to heaven? Yeah. We're on a journey, right? Yeah. So along the way, we're going to get tested, right? Might have a setback. Might have a bad break. Might have to cry sometime. But we're on our way to heaven. So he says, on your way to heaven, Sister Johnson, make sure when you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Well, they heard God's voice and they rebelled. Provocation means rebellion. When they heard God's voice, temptation means testing. When the time of testing came, and it might be a time of testing in your life right now. It may be a time of testing right now in your life. Might be going through something right now in your life, and God is testing you. Whose voice are you going to hear? Now, the devil going to be up in your ear. He was in my ear telling me all kind of old crazy stuff this week. All kind of old crazy stuff. And man, listening to him, I got a little depressed. Get out of my ear, devil. Praise God. Is that all right? So in the time of provocation, the time of testing, whose voice will you hear? Now watch this. God said, with that generation, I was not pleased. I was grieved. Because they do always err in their hearts and have not known my ways. So God said, I swore in my anger. I swore in my wrath. They would not enter into my rest. Amen. What do you think God think about this generation? What do you think God think about this generation? Jesus said, men do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You're doing your kids a great disservice if you don't expose them to the scripture. You're hurting them. You're hurting them. You can't stay with them forever. My mama gone, but the word of God lives in me today. She gone, but the word she gave me stayed with me. Yeah, I was hard-headed. Boy, you're so hard-headed. My mama hearing your mama. I just got the devil in me, mama. Come on, y'all. We all got demons. Huh? Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me, huh? When they heard his voice. And God said, I was grieved with that generation. And I swore in my anger, they will not enter into my rest. Now watch this. Now watch the warning, verse 12. Beware, brethren. lest there develop in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can get to the point, you can stop believing the Bible. Because if you stop obeying it, you ain't believing it. Hello? Is that all right? So he says, beware, brethren. Beware, Bush Hill. Beware every blood-washed member. Don't allow an evil heart of unbelief. There are some people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, were washed in the blood, were on their way to heaven, and they allowed an evil heart of unbelief, and they have turned their backs on God. So he says, beware. Now, it's two problems. Watch this. I want you to get there. This is an important point. It's two reasons why all of us face the danger of developing an evil heart of unbelief. Come up here, Brother Wyatt. Let's do this quickly. Number one is because my own heart is deceitful. Amen? My own heart is deceitful. Justin, come up here a minute. Stand by, Bro Wyatt. How you doing, Doc? You looking good, man. Look at you. Now, y'all hold hands. Just hold hand. Now, Brother Wyatt represents the deceitfulness of my heart. Justin represents the deceitfulness of sin. And they join together and affects me. And if I'm not careful, I will develop an evil heart of unbelief. Now let's prove it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And then Hebrews 3:13 says, beware, brethren, lest you be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. You see they holding hand together? Deceptive heart. See, they hooked up. They got the hook up. And the deceitfulness of sin. All of us have to deal with that. Sin can mislead me and mess up my heart. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Dr. Wyatt. Now, let me give you a biblical solution to these two things. Here's the solution. Number one, what am I going to do by my deceitful heart? Here it is, Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my what? My strength and my David said, Lord, I need your help. Lord, don't let my thought processes and my thought patterns go haywire. Amen. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need some help, Lord. And then the second solution is found in Hebrews 3:13. It says, and while it is called today, encourage what? Read it, Brother Wyatt. Encourage one another what? While it is, read it, Brother Wyatt.
While it is said today,
if you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
And the provocation,
that's the rebellion. Come on.
For some,
when they had heard,
did provoke,
they rebel.
Howbeit,
not
all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
Read.
But with some, with whom was he grieved 40 years?
All right, read. Okay. Now back up. I want the part about exhort one another daily. What verse is that?
Verse 13.
Read it.
But exhort one another.
So the answer to what we need in this church is encouragement every day. You gotta help folks to fight sin. You gotta encourage people. Because discouragement is the tool of defeat. Encouragement is the tool of success. So what did God say? Exhort
one another daily.
Encourage one another
daily.
Daily.
While it is called today.
And while it is called today literally means all of your life you're going to need encouragement. Preacher need it. Song leader need it. Bible class teacher need it. Sunday school teacher need it. Members need it. Deacons need it. Elders need it. Church need it. Everybody needs encouragement. Is that right? He said, while it is, because man, you don't know what battles people fighting. You don't know what Satan doing to them. So I got to pray, Lord, let the meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Is that right? Now, in conclusion, he said, and Brother Ron read verse 19, and we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's going to be a sad day when people can't go to heaven. That's going to be a sad day. Amen. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. For many shall say to me in the day, in thy name, Lord, we've cast out devils. In your name we've done many wonderful works. And Christ is going to say, I never knew you. But the promise is open. Heaven is open, y'all. Heaven is open, y'all. Did you hear me? So we got to make sure we don't miss it. We got to make sure we don't miss it. We got to ensure and assure that we don't miss it. Because the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But it didn't profit them. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now watch this. We got to preach the gospel. Amen. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to whom? Everyone that believes. Is that right? And so the Lord said, preach the gospel. And you know, some people, the gospel don't help some people. And I'm going to be real. Sometimes the gospel doesn't help folks because the preacher don't do what he's supposed to do in paying the price and preaching the gospel on the level he needs to preach it on to help the people. You can't get it before the people and you ain't paid the price. A second reason why it doesn't help people is because some people are dull of hearing. They sitting in church, they mind at the Galleria. Hello? They're dull of hearing. Or else you hear the word and the devil comes along, takes away the word lest you should believe and be saved now. Say the word now with the N-O-W, now. Say that word. Now. Say it again. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is a very important part of life. Amen. The Bible says the day you hear God's voice, what should you do? Harden. You should respond. Is that right? If you know it's God talking to you, God telling you to confess your sin, you say, right, well, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to do it today. What should you do? Harden not your heart. Why is now so important? Because people have a tendency to procrastinate and not do the things they need to do today. Why should you do it now? Because of the law of diminishing intent. When you feel the urge to do something that's good and positive for your life, you need to do it while you feel it strong. Because if you don't, you're going to stop feeling as resolved about it. And you're probably not going to do it. Why should you do it now? Because delay opens the door for the devil to operate. When you put it off, you get the devil room to work on you. Now is important because tomorrow doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Why should you do it now? Because the penalty is so catastrophic to disobey the voice of God. You gotta take action now, because what you can do right now, you may not be able to do later. Amen. So these are just two profound warnings. I want you to be saved. I want to be saved. Amen. Amen. And we got, you cannot neglect salvation. You can't allow an evil heart of unbelief to develop in you. Is that right? So you got to strive to do good. But ain't God good? Doesn't God help us? I heard the hymnologist say, Sister Spurgeon, "Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. But it was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know how Christ came to love me so, lands. But he looked beyond my faults and he saw my knees. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul wide. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my knees." Is that all right? So there are some things I ought to do. Is that all right? I ought to give the more earnest heed to the thing that I've heard, lest at any time I should let them slip. Is that all right? I ought to thank God for this great salvation. Is that all right? I ought to pray without ceasing. Is that all right? I ought to do what I can while I can, as long as I can. Is that all right? There are some things I ought to do. Is that all right? Because Christ has come down from heaven and done something for me, Sister Johnson. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, "Amazing Grace." Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Is that all right? Ain't Christ all right? Ain't he all right? Christ took me from sunset to sunrise. Is that all right? Christ took me from a spiritual famine to a spiritual feast. Christ took me from nowhere to somewhere. Is that all right? Christ took me from crying time to shouting ground. Is that all right? Christ is the lover of my soul. Is that all right? Christ is like Coca-Cola wide. He's the real thing. Is that all right? Christ is like Eveready battery. Just keep going and going and going and going. Is that all right? Christ is like Allstate. You in good hand with Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Christ is like American Express. Don't leave home without him. Is that all right? Christ is like GE. He brings good things to life. Is that all right? Ain't Christ all right? He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon. And by his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. Stand on your feet. I'm healed. Is that all right? I'm healed this morning. Because of Jesus Christ. Ain't Christ good? Oh, ain't he good? How many of y'all appreciate this great salvation? Oh, don't neglect it. Oh, my God, don't neglect it. You're going to walk streets of gold. Amen? Your future is out of sight. But you got to take heed to these warnings. Amen? Don't keep putting it off. Amen? This is transformational truth. It'll change your life if you submit to it. Huh? Listen. You can't ignore your sin. If you've sinned against God, you got to make that right. He ain't gonna overlook it. He'll forgive it, but he's not gonna overlook it. Don't think because you done forgot it, he done forgot it. You know, it's amazing how sometimes folks owe you money, forget it, but you don't forget it. You don't forget it. You do not forget it. But they, oh man, I owe you. You better quit playing. You know you owe me. Is that all right? I'm telling you, God is willing to forgive us. But we got to acknowledge sin. If we miss the assembly without a legitimate excuse, that's a sin. We got to make that right. If we don't give like we should and we spend God's money, that's a sin. Huh? If you cuss somebody out, amen, that's a sin. Eat if you got drunk in your own house. You got you a fifth of whiskey. You went in your den. And you got drunk as Cooter Brown. Nobody know you was drunk, but you in the Lord. Y'all listening? But guess what? That's a sin. You got to make that right. You just can't ignore that. Six profound warnings from the book of Hebrews. Amen. Claudia, what a blessing we have in Christ Jesus. Make your calling and your what? And so, I want to sing this song. Kylie is here today. And she said, Daddy, my blessing on the way. And guess what? Your blessing, guess what? It's on the way, isn't it? You don't want to miss it, do you? Well, Brother Moss, how can I get right? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And you accept this great salvation. If you're an erring child of God, if you wandered away, God says, if you repent, confess, and pray, I'll forgive you. Ain't that beautiful? He's not going to overlook it, but he will forgive it. That's the true God of the Bible. Amen? And I ain't got no problem confessing my sin. Can you say amen to that? I don't have no problem doing that. Amen? Oh, Lord, I come to receive
my blessing,
patiently waiting
for the harvest.
I got the Hebrews,
the
counterfeit, and it's mine. Oh,
mine,
great God is.